Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate Spinnerbait, but we love Alexi Navigator ringtone. Welcome, everyone. We love it also, like, in a bit of a sad way.
I made it sad right off the top of the bat.
I think these two, 15 and 16, aren't sad, though, right?
Kind of sad. 16 is pretty sad. It's going to be, we're just kind of in for it right now. We're in that part of the novel where we just really get into the thick of it. But hello, everyone. It is I, Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Lann. Michael Lann, you know what else we love here at Hate Spinnerbait? We love a septum piercing. And you have one now. Oh my God, look at her. Look at her. She's so cute.
Cute.
She is so cute.
Love it.
Happy September to you. It's September now. I'm very excited. Yes. The best time of year. We love the fall.
And same.
It like feels like fall outside right now, which is really nice. That probably won't last very long, but we'll take it while it does.
Yes. Yeah. I walked the dogs this morning. It was a brisk 60 degrees.
Yes.
I was like, lovely. I had my little cup of coffee with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
I'm going to put on long sleeves. It's a little chilly out here.
I didn't have to change out of my sweatshirt. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I can see him. It's beautiful.
Oh, here's my husband bringing me
Andrew's
coffee.
Coming to bring coffee. Hi, Andrew. We love that. We love it. Hi. We love a king who brings coffee. Yes.
Also, it is Tatooine.
Yes, the Tatooine Been There series mug. Very cute.
Yes.
Very cute. I love it. Speaking of, this is not related to anything, but it was just Dragon Con, and this lady did the coolest freaking Padme Amidala cosplay I've ever seen in my life. She did a Padme slash lover bodysuit.
Like
mashup, and it's so cool. I'll have to send it to you. You don't have to keep this in an episode if you don't want to, but I need to send this to you because I just saw it last night and I was like, this woman is so talented. Like, she made a Padme Taylor Swift crossover. Like, it's the lake dress, but via like lover bodysuit. It's so cool.
I need to see this.
I had the talent. I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Yes. I was like, I need to see it right now. One of my friends, Kitty, I think she goes by Catherine now. I don't think she goes by Kitty. She was in the Her Universe fashion show.
That's so cool. She's living the dream, honestly. This is crazy.
Jurassic Park roller coaster. She is like an amazing seamstress, and her husband does it professionally for like.
I wish I had this talent. That is so cool.
Yeah,
I'm jealous of them. Okay, I've sent you the lake dress slash lover bodysuit moment. Again, I can't stress, this is just the coolest thing.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy talented? Like, what?
Hell yeah, girl.
Like, get it, girl. That's so cool. Again,
that's
I just wish I was that talented. Ridiculously.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to find this person like on Instagram to get a picture to post.
Yeah. And she does, of course, once this came up on my TikTok, I started looking at her other things and I was like, oh my God, she is so talented.
She's crazy talented. This is nuts. Yeah. Oh my God. My friend that I knew in the fashion show was like, she made her outfit like the Jurassic World roller coaster at Universal Studios.
That is
and
pretty
it had like the, my turn.
I'm now gonna have to see this. Yeah. The first 2 minutes of this episode just brought like none of this is well, maybe some of it'll make it. Oh my God. That's so cool. Oh, that's fantastic. And I like that her bag is the one velociraptor from the queue who like is all like, you know, with their little muzzle on.
Yes.
Yeah.
That attention to detail.
She's playing it. Like, that's fantastic. People, I'm telling you, people are so cool and talented. I would like an ounce of their coolness, please. And thank you.
She's crazy talented. Every single time she posts something she made, I'm like, oh my God, that's unbelievable, to be honest.
I really feel like I missed my opportunity to learn how to sew on life. I mean, it's never too late, but you know.
It's never too late. I don't think she started until after she left the college program. So she didn't start until a little bit later
bit later in life, y'all. Yeah. Never too late to pick up a new hobby or passion. Okay.
I want to so desperately, but
yeah, I just want to do that. All right, I guess we should get to the thick of things. We talked about septum piercings. These are the important things. We talked about cool people that have really cool talents, like knowing how to sew. Wish it was us. Now I guess we should actually get down to business, which is we're going to be discussing chapters 15 and 16 of Once and For All today.
Yes.
And as per usual, two little bits and bobs that we like to do beforehand. One is light and fluffy. One is not so light and fluffy. The first one is watch us on YouTube because it's fun and you can see things like our cute new haircut and our cool new piercings. And when my clan adds fun graphics to things, these are things you can participate in if you were with us on the YouTube. That's the first order of business. Number two is that this book does contain a school shooting. So mentions of that, if that is too much for you, we just want to warn you off the top of the episode about it. You can skip on out of this and we will talk to you once we finish this book or once we do a chaos episode again someday. We will do one again.
Someday.
We promise, hopefully. I don't know. No, we will. But this is what we're doing. We're getting through Once and For All because we are enjoying it. And because pre-record, sometimes chaos is kind of hard to do because our chaos episodes tend to be very topical. And if we put those out 3 weeks later,
it's not quite as topical anymore. Let's date stamp this too. We are recording this on Monday, September 1st.
Yes.
The internet was really fun a couple days ago when we all thought the thing happened.
The thing had happened.
It did not.
It has not. I was so ready, y'all. I queued up No One Mourns the Wicked. I was ready. Yeah.
Which is actually like
we're still holding out.
Not a good song to represent it if that does happen, because that song's about like how the person who died isn't actually terrible. That first part that's like so good news. I'm like, I'll sing that part.
Yes. Some people have pointed out that when everyone starts to listen to it, that people will be like, well, actually, so you're saying like Elphaba, because like Elphaba is actually a good person and blah, 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 and the song's about her. And so if you really want to get to the nitty gritty of it, it's not really the best song, but everyone's like, if we're singing it, we are singing it from the perspective of the Munchkins. Okay. To be clear, not from the perspective of like Clinton.
Yes.
Not from the perspective of, and we are not equating a certain person to Elphaba, to be clear, because in no world are they similar in any way.
No. One's orange, one's green.
Yeah, very different colors. First of all. So there is that. But the internet was fun for a few days. We got a new Sabrina Carpenter album.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It's been a good time, you know? We were having a good time, even though like the good news didn't come in. But, you know, can't win them all.
So this actually is going to come out this week. This episode.
Episode will be coming out.
Can we briefly talk about Man's Best Friend?
Yes, we can have a quick little chat. I'm not super versed in it. I've only given it like a cursory little listen. Because this is what y'all need to know about me. In the fall, so this weekend was my first home football game. Yay. Went home. It was lovely. Football's back, baby. But I just turn into, I revert to like 2010 stomp clap music when it first turns fall, because it just hits so good for me. And so I was like, I was in that zone this weekend, and like Man's Best Friend is not that zone. Very fun. But I was like, so I gave a little listen. But I like listened to it like once through. I haven't really, everyone's like, what's your favorite song? And I'm like, I don't know any of their names yet.
Oh my God. You have to listen to it all the way through in order, obviously.
Yeah.
Because it tells a story and it's unbelievably relatable. I'm like, if these songs came out when I was in my early 20s, I would be obnoxious. I would be unstoppable. There's one song called Go Go Juice where she talks about how she's just getting drunk to text her ex-boyfriends. If that wasn't my mojo.
Yeah.
I don't know what was.
Well, this whole album is 38 minutes long. Sabrina likes to keep it short and sweet, not to her old bumsh. And you know what? We love that. sometimes you like, that's what you need, you know, in a good pop album. You just want like a nice little short and sweet moment.
Yes. I love Go-Go Juice, obviously. I love Nobody's Son. Nobody's Son's one of my faves. Mm-hmm. And there was another one that I was like,
I did listen to that one because you put in the group chat that you liked it. And I was like, oh, let me put that on.
Yes, that one was good. And I really like Goodbye. Honestly, I like all of them. She's so funny.
She is. I think she does that very, very well. She has humor into her music very well.
Yes. I like actually laugh out loud sometimes.
Yeah.
Shout out to our girl.
God, like the fall is already the best time of year. And then like a lot of times standardly in the music biz, like albums will drop in the fall. And yeah, it just makes me so happy. Like every couple of weeks we have a new album to look forward to. And that's fantastic, especially when I'm like traveling back and forth so much. It's great.
It's been a great month for new music.
Yeah. Great month. This is the time, y'all. This is the time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Any other wrap up thoughts before we jump into these two chapters? I think that's about it.
No.
Okay.
I can't start. Okay. Here we go. This will be a chaos episode.
Yeah, this actually is just chaos. Okay. Dark Student 16, before we dive in, a quick little reminder of what we've read so far. Our main character is Luna. She works, it is the summer after her senior year of high school. She works with her mom and her mom's like longtime bestie, William, at her mom's wedding planning firm, whatever you want to call it, wedding planning business. That's not a firm, I guess. I don't know. There's this guy, Ambrose. He is a Destin male protagonist, like to a T. Bless him. Yes. He has a dog named Ira. We love that. She has a best friend named Jilly. Jilly is, poor Jilly. We feel for Jilly. She is like basically having to be a parent to her brothers and sisters, and that's shitty. And our girl, Luna, has really been through it, y'all. She fell in love hard and fast with this guy that she met at a wedding. And unfortunately, he was killed in a school shooting. And so she's been dealing with the grief of that. And that pretty much catches you up to what we have missed. Ambrose and Luna made a bet, basically, about dating. He's going to try to actually like be in a committed relationship. She is going to try to get out and date more because obviously, since she has been grieving the loss of her boyfriend, she has not been dating. And that's what you missed on Glee. Buckle up. We're about to get to some bumpy roads, some sad chapters. Lighthearted things. Honestly, chapter 15 is kind of funny because this is the one where like pretentious. Like this is the chapter where I was like, Sarah has 100% as someone who obviously got her master's in writing. She has met this person in real life. Like she definitely took from her own real life experience for this chapter. And that part's kind of funny. But then it gets sad.
Yes. But, you know. Yes. I'm actually thrilled selfishly that you have to read both Ethan chapters.
Yes. Oh, yes, I get to read the sads. I thought about that today, actually. I was like, oh, I get to read all the sads.
Oh, my God. I cry easier than you do, though, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine, guys. We'll get through it.
By the time I'd gotten ready. Also, me and Bethany read the 15 and 16, like, 3 weeks ago.
A while ago, so bear with us.
Like, honestly, a while ago. I had to last-minute cancel recording because I am a mess. I'm a goddamn mess. Okay. Okay. So they're going on the date with Leo. They're going to a house party. She's getting ready. She's changed her shirt twice, redone her makeup once. She goes downstairs. William's in the kitchen. He's cooking. He loves to cook. He just never does it at his own apartment because it's small, high rise, modern. And he likes to keep it pristine at all times. That's where he brings the men.
Yeah. I wish I had a place that I could just go make a mess of. He's like, I don't want to make a mess of my kitchen. Like,
I know.
I guess they're getting food out of it, right? So like pros and cons.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Like even if I went to my parents' house, I'd still be the cleaner upper.
Clean up a little bit, probably.
Um,
brief pause. Mike's coming in to say hello.
Michael.
Hi, Bubble. I missed you.
No. Aw. Okay, yeah. So she's downstairs. William's cooking. He's like, she's like, what's the occasion? And it's just that Luna's mom read one of those articles about eating clean and getting in shape. And so now she needs to get in shape and eat clean. We're going to start cooking more, walking every night. Luna says, sure you are. Like, yeah, I've made a lot of those plans too. Here I am. Got the strength of Gumby. Oh my God, someday I'm going to make that joke and people are going to look at me and be like, what?
What?
Honestly, if I said that to my niece or nephew, they would probably be like, who the fuck is Gumby?
Gumby, yeah. I feel like we're already kind of starting to date ourselves with that joke.
I need to know, actually.
Yeah, right now, be like, are you aware of who this is?
Do you guys know who, all right. I'm sure they love to get these random fucking text messages from me that I send them all the time. That's like, the other day I sent a group text to my nieces, all my nieces and my sisters. And I was like, Sabrina Carpenter albums, fire, listen to it. And they were all like, okay. And now I'm texting all the nieces and I'm like, do you guys know who Gumby is? They're going to be like, what the fuck is going on with this girl? Ugh. Blah. I feel like I should still be fucking 20 years old and I'm the aunt of a 21-year-old almost. And that makes me feel old as fuck.
This weekend, we obviously, it was the first football weekend. There's a true freshman player that's starting for us, true freshman wide receiver, and he is Florida legacy. He's like the third player. So like his grandpa played, his dad played for us, and now he is playing college football. Okay. And you know, all these people are like, thank you. They're like, oh, like, you know, I feel so old, whatever. And I was like, no, because I'm at the point where I saw his father play college football and now I'm seeing him play. And like, they're like, my parents have had that happen to them before. You know, they're like, oh yeah, I feel like my parents have seen his grandpa, then his dad, now him. And they're like, wow, that's crazy. And I was like, oh no, but like I saw his dad play college football. Like I have recollection of that time of my life. It was the early 2000s, which feel like they were yesterday to me, but were in fact, you know, 20 to 25 years ago. So
yes.
Yeah, there we are.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Taylor Swift recently, me and Taylor are having kind of a moment right now. I'm struggling. But as I do, how many times have I had this conversation on the podcast? Literally a million times.
It comes in waves.
It's hard.
Ebbs and flows.
But one thing I really dislike about her vibe recently, and this is like really over the past like year, maybe. Yeah. She used to wear like pretty, like she obviously wore insane priced things, but she also wore a lot of regular priced things. Yeah. And now she's just wearing designer, name. Like she went to that game with Travis. We all know what I'm talking about. Yes. And she had on this fucking ugly ass pleated jean skirt.
Yeah. That we all owned in 2006.
We all own that skirt. We were in middle school strutting our stuff in that skirt. Okay.
We thought and we were hot in that skirt.
And she walked into the game with it. And I'm like, oh my God. First of all, whoa. Second of all, $1,500. Yeah, I was like, you got to be so fucking for real right now. You could go to Goodwill and get that.
Yeah, like, and get that skirt. But well, anyway, things are now, like Charlotte Russe, like tops are now considered vintage. Slaps me. This is vintage 2003 Charlotte Russe top. Like people will say that in like videos when they're like going thrifting. And I'm like, don't call it Charlotte Russe top vintage. But per definition, they're not incorrect. That is a vintage top. You know what I mean?
That's just so weird to me. Like aging is weird.
It's really weird.
I went to my brother's.
And then I'm not.
My brother's wedding was last weekend. This is going to be an episode of old yore. I went to my brother's wedding last weekend and I saw people I have not seen in 10 plus years. Like I saw my cousin who I haven't seen since I went to Austin. Albus was a puppy. I was in a different relationship and my cousin had no kids. My cousin has kids now, two of them, and one of them's like 10. So it was so weird, like seeing them in person and being like, whoa.
Yeah.
Who are you? It's wild.
We're whole different people now. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, it's truly insane. Yeah, I don't know. Like time just goes by like really. I feel like we're also like old people right now. But time like goes by so much differently now that like you're older. Like I feel like when you're still in school, like you kind of had like an idea of when time was. And now it's just like the years go and whatever, but it's still wild to me that like in a few months I'll be celebrating my 5th wedding anniversary. Like that's crazy. I'm like, ain't no way. Like that was yesterday. Like 5 years married. Like that's crazy to me. But like that is how time goes. Like I'm like, that's half a decade. Like that's half a decade. Like talking about like meeting up with people at a wedding they haven't seen in a long time. Like yeah, like a whole half a decade later is like that's a big deal. You know, like that's a long. Like people are completely different people in 5 years.
Yes.
Insane.
Wow. That's insane.
Yes. Anyways.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay. Anyways, I guess we'll get back to the book. Whatever. Yeah, people have said that they like longer episodes.
Yeah. So you're welcome.
However, they were like structured longer episodes. And, you know, that's fair.
We're meeting you halfway. They call this a compromise. Okay. Yes. This is not structured. But we are giving you a longer episode, so you're welcome, I guess. Also, we're about to get back into the episode, but we're not, because I would like to bring something up.
Okay.
So, in this chapter, you know, our girl Sarah here is writing about how William and her mom are all like, yeah, yeah, like, we're getting healthier again. This is, like, the same cycle that everyone goes on. It's like, new year, new me. Like, I'm going to... You know, like you start thinking about like, yeah, I need to start working out more. I need to start eating healthier. And then, you know, they end up falling back on their old habits. We all do this. But she says, you know, they're proclaiming at the start of a new era, which is a common term. But again, I kind of chuckled to myself because I was like, okay, Sarah, starting the whole era trend before Taylor even did. Like, look at you go, queen, you know. So it's how I'll chuckle to myself. Obviously, era is a word that has existed for a very long time. Yes. Anywho, this is the tangent. So one of my Gen Z friends the other day texted in the group chat something about there was like an Ozempic ad like in like, you know, a drugstore, like they have like little things or whatever. And it was like, in my Ozempic era. And she's like, oh, they're letting Gen Z like make like, for which of course is very cringy. It's a very cringy advertisement. But she was like, oh, they're starting to let Gen Z make ads now. And I was like, I wouldn't call that a Gen Z thing, which the whole In My Era thing started because of the Eras Tour and the Queen of Millennials started that. So I was like, I see that as being more of a millennial thing. Not like I'm saying this is an infight on who should claim it, but I was like, I read that and I was like, oh, I kind of see that actually as more of a millennial term. Like I'm Gen Z getting credit for all the cool things, you know, whatever. And I was like, nope, I'm not even gonna put it in the text message thread because it's not that important and whatever. But am I gonna bring it up on this podcast? Yes, I am.
I feel like also like something so cringy and weird, like in my Ozempic era, that's a fucking millennial.
That's a millennial. We're so cringy. Like that's the millennial cringe right there.
Yes, that is like millennials trying to stay relevant. Yeah. No, honey. Ozempic is no, you can't. No,
we're not going to be in our Ozempic era. So many people are, but I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Hard pass.
Thank you so much. We have no scientific studies. We do not have enough to know if this is good or not for you.
Also, the results are in. My nieces aged 16, almost 16, and 14. Do not know who Gumby is.
Okay.
And my 21-year-old niece just responded. She also doesn't know who Gumby is. 21.
Oh, God. Oh, God, guys. It's getting bad out there. We're all the way up to 21 and we don't know Gumby.
wow. That's really one of those moments where you're like, holy shit. Like, sometimes, like, you say stuff that was, like, so normal when we were, like, 17, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, that's not something that, like, people get now. I sometimes, yeah. like, you know, the whole old adage was always, like, you know, because of the Olympians that are put on the Wheaties box, like, Wheaties gives you strength or whatever. And yeah. so when I'm talking to children a lot, about putting on heavy aprons, I'm like, good thing you eat your like Wheaties this morning. And then one day I was like, they don't understand that. Like, I don't think they probably even understand that reference. I also always want to make Price is Right references to them, but I reckon that they probably wouldn't know it. So I don't, but occasionally when I call them, I want to be like, come on down, the price is right.
Their parents would get it though.
Yeah, their parents would get it. I think they would appreciate it.
Okay, so we are 30 minutes in, and we are on the first page.
All right, here we go. We're getting serious now, guys. It's happening.
We're walking in, okay? So Mom and William want to start a new diet, so they're healthy. They always make these plans, proclaiming it a start of a new era, don't we all? It's only a week again before they're on the couch binging Big New York or Big Chicago. I would love to watch an episode of that.
Same.
He is making chicken paler?
Do you know what that is? I have no idea what that is. When I read it, I was like, don't know what that is.
It's
with asparagus.
I doubt it's pronounced pale lard.
Yeah, I was like, pale? But that's kind of how it's spelled.
A slice of veal or other meat that is pounded until very thin. But anyway, chicken, asparagus, shaved parmesan, a pear salad. Honestly, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I was like, I'm really into the pear salad. That sounds good. Yes. Yeah, asparagus.
Okay, so they don't have lemons. And Luna's like, I can't believe you thought we had lemons, basically. There's nothing in this fridge. This is very, like,
they're very Gilmore Girls here.
Yes, Lorelai and Rory, big time.
Mm-hmm.
So she offers to run and get him lemons, but he is going to do that anyway because he needs to grab some prosciutto and melon and some of those Belgian macaroons. And she's like, what happened to healthy eating? And he's like, they're Belgian, inorganic. And I'm like, this dessert is fine. This Toblerone is fine because it's not American. Yes. And therefore, it's good for you.
It's good for you. It's fine. It's fancy. It's fancy. They're Belgian and organic. Okay. If it's organic and from another country, it's fine.
So bamboozle there. So she goes to the grocery store with him. Spice and thyme. I forgot that. it's one of those very expensive gourmet markets where the fragrant notes of expensive coffee hit you the second you step through the sliding doors. This is like Whole Foods, right?
Yeah, it's giving like a Whole Foods type vibe. Or if we want to get real fancy, Erewhon.
Oh, Erewhon.
I think this is like pre-Erewhon though, so probably not.
Oh,
I
mean, for sure.
How long has Erewhon existed? Who knows?
I feel like it's new, right? Because it's like so trendy right now. I don't know. Whole Foods before freaking Amazon bought Whole Foods.
Yeah.
The fuck? Anyway.
I can't. Wild, right? Honestly. Now.
Cannot. So the running joke here while they're in this grocery store is that people keep assuming William works there. And so he gets people asking him questions like where things are, if they're on sale. And he's like, oh, I don't work here. But then he just starts answering questions without saying I don't work here, because I guess this happens to him a lot. He has like that air of confidence, I suppose. He just exuded authority and knowledge even when he was off the clock. He got annoyed, but personally, I found it hilarious. They move to the meat section. Another one of their rituals for grocery shopping is getting those free sample stations. And then they go up to the produce case, and this guy working comes up from the other side, dark haired, very muscled, tattoos of both arms, a thick gauge in one ear. That is unbalanced. William, he said, his voice friendly, where have you been? You never came to report back on that Parma. William is like blushing and Luna can't believe it. And he's like a little stammered. He's like very nervous. He's like, I've been busy, but it's good. A little salty. And the guy leaned on top of the case, his massive arms flexing. Agreed. I cut it with a bit of this new blue we got, a cow's milk, very silky and tart. The Meridian. Have you tried it? So it seems like this guy is like very into William. Mm-hmm. And William mm-hmm. is also into him, but he's like nervous and he has that whole like love doesn't exist thing. And he's so cute. Like this whole scene's like so cute.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my God, I want William and the prosciutto guy to be together. They're cute.
Yes. The single gauge guy.
Yeah. Single gauge.
Single gauge is fucking what a decision, you know? Yeah.
It's like, a choice for sure.
They don't go back to normal.
No,
so you can have one large earlobe forever.
Yeah, and the other one not, which is, you know, it's a choice.
It's a choice. William's like, I just need some prosciutto, and so he gets him the prosciutto, and he's like, I'll throw in a bit of this new Black Forest. I want you to try. We have the Wasilla goat at home still. You have the Wasilla goat at home still? Yes. He knows what kind of cheese William has at home. Mm-hmm. I looked pointedly at William when he said this, and William ignores her. Finally, she pokes him, and he's like, what? And she's like, who is that guy? He's cute. And she's like, oh, he's like, I barely know him. We talk meat and cheese at closing once. I think he likes you. And he's like, Luna, stop. Then the guy comes back over or calls back over, and he says, you want this thin? Are you making that melon dish we had at dinner that time? They've been on dates.
They've been out together.
I want them to be in love.
Yes.
I want them to get married.
Yes.
I love when people find their person. It's like the best. Anyway.
What a cute little bonding. They bonded over like charcuterie, y'all. That's adorable.
Adorable. Oh. And he's like bad boy. I love that for William.
Yes.
William's so like straight edge, you know.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, he's so like, you know, top buttoned up kind of guy. But yeah,
can you please get an entire book about William and his boyfriend?
Yes, I need it. Stat. Is that in the free book deal? Because I'd really enjoy it. Thank you.
That would be crazy if she wrote an adult book.
Yeah, right.
I would read the shit out of that.
Hells to the yeah. I'd be really into it personally. Yeah. But yeah, that would be
wild. Anyway.
That we would have if that happened. Yes.
That'd be very fun. Okay. I wrote a little note here. You want the Meridian? He's like, sure. And Luna's like, yes, we'll take that Meridian. And William's like, no, at the same time. He's very nervous. We have to go. I'm cooking and the chicken is next time. The guy smiles at him and then wider at William. And he says, sure thing. Looking forward to it. And I wrote, ooh, get the hot emo.
Get the hot emo, William.
Get the hot emo. He probably listens to the best music, William.
He probably does. Yes, that's fair.
Okay, so then they like kind of run away. And Luna introduces herself. She's like, Luna, and you are? And he's like, Matt. You're William's goddaughter, I said, which was an easy explanation. And he's like, he's a great guy, looking at the popcorn. And still single, yes?
Yes. Checking in to see if he's single.
I don't know why this like just made me like so like he's a side character. Again, she does so good with the side characters that you're like, you're like, I feel like I know William, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh. I was like, oh, I just don't want him to be happy. Like when I read this chapter, I was like, yeah, there's someone to be happy. Again, like I know him. Like we've spent that much time with him in this book. But like everything that we know about him, I was like, oh yeah, that's so sweet. And like I want both William and her mom to like believe in love again. Well, really all of them. Luna, William, and Natalie all deserve to believe in love again.
Yes.
That's what I want for them.
Okay. So cute. So then she goes over to William and she's like, you didn't tell me you had anyone over for a date. And he's like, it was one time. He's nice. I'm not ready for anything. And she's like, William, you haven't dated since I was in middle school. And he's like, yeah, exactly. I wouldn't even know where to start. And she's like, with prosciutto and melon. And she says, if I can get back out there dating, so can you. And he's like, oh, you're dating again. And then she explains the bet that her and Ambrose have. And he's like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah, it's nothing serious. That's the whole point. I just have to date. But Ambrose has to commit for 7 weeks. Whoever caves first has to get set up by the other with the person of their choice. And he's like, oh, Ambrose gets to set you up. And he was like, well, if he wins, which he won't. He's like, you should hope not, because he'd pick himself. Yes.
William is clocking it. He sees exactly what is going on. And I love it. He's like, oh, yeah, Ambrose came up with that idea, didn't he? Because he 100% has a crush on you. And you're like, you are correct, William.
Oh, yeah. So he's like, Ambrose is going to set you up with himself. And she's like, no, that's not how it works. And he's like, okay. So he says, he's like, yeah, you said he could pick anyone, correct? So he says it's him, and then you have no choice but to go out with him. Pretty genius. I take it that part was his idea, and it was his idea, that part. Mm-hmm. And William, and she's like, Ambrose does not want to go out with me. We barely like each other. And William's like, yeah, okay, I hear a lot of laughing when you two are in the office. You looked pretty cozy at that photo shoot. And then at that same time, somebody asks him, sir, where's the curry sauce? And he was like, I got to get out of here. So they check out. She's determined to bring up Ambrose again, demanding why on earth he thought that, of all things, would be the outcome of our bet. She's like, oh, my God, wait, what? He likes me, too? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're determined to bring him up again? Girl, I don't know. I think you got a bet.
I love that. Like, they don't realize they have a crush on someone and you're just watching them. Like, yes.
This is my favorite. I live for a slow burn, y'all. Live yes. for them. And I love the part of any story where the two people have no idea that the other one likes it. Like, they're completely oblivious. And they're like, they treat all of their friends like that. And it's like, they don't, and you don't know it yet. It kills me every time.
Ugh. I just started reading Abby Jimenez, and I should have read her stuff sooner. Oh my God. Beautiful love stories. Complex. Mm-hmm. Funny. Okay.
We love both those things.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And I recommend reading them out of order. If you guys haven't read them yet, read the third one first and then read the first one and then the second one.
Interesting. Okay.
That's how I did it, accidentally. It was just the third one was the only one available. But I actually liked it because they like kind of connect and it's like this whole thing. Hmm. Anyway, very intense, very good. Anyway, what am I doing here? But she started to say that, but then her mother calls some issue with the photographer of the Eleanor Lynn wedding that weekend, serious enough that they talked the entire ride home. As we pulled up in the driveway, I could see Jillian in her backyard alone for once, waiting for me. Alone for once.
Mm-hmm.
She says that when she crossed the grass to Jilly, she couldn't help but consider the fact that William's intuition was usually dead on. Then again, everyone can be wrong sometimes.
Oh my goodness.
He's not.
I don't think he's wrong this time.
Okay, so then they get to the party. Jilly's like, act cool. There he is. Leo makes his way across the living room. Whose party is this? Jack from Turbo Taco. My lower third is Turbo Taco because I literally don't remember these chapters and I was just flipping through and I was like, Turbo Taco. Well,
which honestly I enjoy, I enjoy, we're gonna learn over the next couple of chapters that Jilly's like food truck thing. Yes. And it's, I don't know why, it's very funny to me. And it reminds me of my friend Katie, who we went to Sweden with, who has a love for food halls. And I was like, yes. Jilly is the Katie of the group, who's like, can we go to this food hall? And they are delightful, but we just like to rip her on it a little bit, because it's like, we'll have the entire tour of food halls of Scandinavia by the time this trip is done, because Literally. Let me tell you, if Katie can find a food hall, she's taking you there.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, we went to them, and they were nice.
We went to them. They were actually, I actually do enjoy a food hall. Like, yes. I'm not going to throw shade at a food hall. They are very lovely, and I do think it's very convenient when you have people with different dietary restrictions or different palates, yes. because, like, everyone can find something for them, which is nice.
Exactly. Okay, Jack from Turbo Taco. His parents have that truck with the racing flames on it. They sell the hottest hot sauce in town. People have been hospitalized. Lol. Leo stopped to talk to two girls who had their backs to us. He had on yet another plaid shirt, short sleeved.
Yeah.
Not cute. She's like, oh, he doesn't have an apron on. And she's like, of course he doesn't have an apron on. She took a sip of beer and it was warm. high school. She says, why did I feel so out of place? What did I agree to do this again? Ambrose is here as well. You want to greet Ambrose, and Ambrose is there in the kitchen popping a beer open. When he saw us, he waved. Ira was on the deck outside being petted by a group of girls holding red cups. This time he had on a polka dot bandana. So cute. Oh my God. Ambrose hadn't heard of this neighborhood before. And she's like, you invited him? And Jilly's like, yeah. And he's like, she's like, why? I thought you couldn't stand him. She's like, oh, that was just first impressions. He's okay. She's like, between this and William's melon prosciutto date, I suddenly felt like no one was telling me anything. And then she's like, you gave Ambrose a ride? And she's like, yes, I gave Ambrose a ride. He was walking downtown at 2 a.m. And she's like, oh, I'm surprised he was alone. And she's like, he said he had just dodged some girl at a club. Crazy story, how to run out the back door. That is so Ambrose. And she's like, oh, I think I heard about that. And Jilly's like, I'm sure you did. So then she mentions that he invited her in for a snack. And Luna's like, he invited you in? Did you go in? Like, she's very like, excuse me? And she's like, you guys are just friends, right? And she's like, not even that. We just work together. Not even friends. It's like, yeah, okay, Jilly. Sure. Yeah, okay, Luna.
Whatever you gotta tell yourself,
girl. So and make bets together. That's for bragging rights. That's what I thought. And Jilly's like, I don't think he's my type anyway. Too loosey-goosey. Not a sport coat in sight. Loosey-goosey is definitely like a loping walk.
Yeah.
Loopsy-doopsy. Is that what she said? How did I immediately lose it? Loosey-goosey. Loosey-goosey loping walk. That's how I picture like all of them. Except for there's one that's like beefy, right?
Yeah. Owen's kind of like a...
Owen,
like a stockier guy. He's not a loping walk kind of little weirdo. He's a different kind of little weirdo.
Who we love. We love all weirdos. Except for like the violent ones.
Yeah, we don't love those weirdos for sure.
Love those ones. And she's like, not a sport coat in sight. And Luna's like, well, that didn't work out for you last time. She's like, true, you never know.
Yeah, Jilly, get better taste. The sport coat guys aren't it.
No. So Leo wraps up his conversation and starts walking towards them. She's like, my date, even though I wasn't supposed to call him that. And yet now all I could think about was Jilly and Ambrose together. It would never happen, would it? She's starting to panic. They go outside to get beer. And Ira's tied nearby and starts ragging his tail. So she goes and sees him. And he just had a haircut and he smelled like he had just had a bath. And she says, 10 to 1, Ambrose met a pretty dog groomer. And he's probably right. She's probably right.
Yeah.
Leo's like, what? And she's like, oh, nothing. Do you want to go back inside? And he's like, let's just stay here for a bit. Less chance of bumping into more people from high school. They walked over to a bench and she's like, oh, you're from here? I didn't realize. And he's like, yep. Class of 2015, Kiffany Brown. And I did the math. Leo's 20 years old in this scene.
Okay. Noted. Noted.
Kiffany Brown, we know all about them too. Yep. And she's like, oh, you're smart. And he was like, oh, I was a big time math nerd before I started writing. Good God.
This is very good fun.
Yes. She's like, oh, you're right. And he's like, yes, I'm in the program at the U workshops, independent study, all that stuff. I was doing both tracks, but now I'm strictly fiction. And she's like, what kind of stuff? And he's like, the novel I'm working on right now is kind of a stream of consciousness take on the dwindling of human contact in society, he replied. It's futuristic, but also set in present day. I'm playing with time a lot. It's challenging. Okay.
Good for you.
I got an English degree. I've met these men.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the worst.
They are absolutely the worst. Yes.
And then you read their stories and you're like, this isn't even fucking good. You're acting like this is groundbreaking.
They're never good. And there's always a weird sex scene in it for no reason, just so they can talk about a woman's breasts and like poorly. I'm like, have you ever seen a woman's breast? I don't know. Every time.
A lot of times it's rape. A lot of times it's rape.
Yes.
It's insane how often is rape. Mm-hmm. It's really crazy. And they don't realize it too. Anyway.
No, we've no idea. And you just have to stare at them in the face and you're like, I sit next to you in class. Like well, you're gonna walk out behind me from this class.
Make sure I'm like, good thing I have mace on me, because what the fuck? You think this is consensual sex? They do. So she's like, I love to read, but I've never been very good at writing unless it was like papers for school. And she's like, he's like, oh, it's totally different. Anyone can be taught to present a basic argument or summarize information. Fiction is a skill. I actually disagree. I have read a lot of research papers that have fucking sucked. Okay.
Oh my God. Yes.
That is also a skill. That is also a very specific skill that I have.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
fiction,
much.
Fiction is a skill. You either have it or you don't. Oh my God, this guy. This guy.
And she's like, oh, and you do? And he's like, well, yeah, but I'm still learning. I have this awesome professor, McCallum McClatchy. You ever read his books? McCallum McClatchy. You must be like making fun of someone specific here, and it's like an inside joke or something.
Yeah.
Right.
But that sounds like something that would be like some guy that like some dude bro in an MMA like program would like, you know.
Yes, 100%. Also, I want to find my Sarah Dessen interview notes because I want to ask.
Yeah, what's up with McCallum McClatchy? I need to know.
He's like, oh, have you ever read his books? And she's like, she's like, no, I'm not exactly wanting to share that the current novel on her bedside table was a fantasy novel about girls put under a spell that made them into tigers. And then they had to fight a series of other tigers, also former humans, in order to turn back. I've once been a big fan of contemporary fiction, but since she lost Ethan, real life had been bad enough. So she started to go to fantasy novels.
I can guarantee the Girls Turning Into Tiger books is way better than anything McCallum McClatchy is writing.
Facts. 100%.
Certainly less pretentious, way more fun.
Yes, it definitely has deeper meanings and like it was more poetic than whatever McCallum McClatchy's doing. I just don't read books by men anymore. I'm just done, you know?
I'm just done with them.
Oh, he's great, Irish born. Of course, he's fucking Irish born. Really sparse in terms of his prose, but with thick language. His whole first book takes place in a potato field over the course of one day. And it's told from the point of view of a plow. Wow. Cool. Just like one
Sounds
of those
great.
Like, yeah, sounds really interesting. He's like, well, yeah, I'll loan you one of my copies if you don't mind highlights and margin notes. First of all, one of your copies, you don't have any copies that don't have margin notes. Why do you have multiple copies? Yeah. He's like, great, I'll bring it to work tomorrow. It can be kind of a tough read with all the footnotes and flashbacks. McCollum is my inspiration when it comes to time shifting on the page, but I can walk you through it. I roll. I can walk you through it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for mansplaining to me.
I don't know how reading works. Thank you so much. This is very interesting for her to say too, like making fun of this guy for like doing this like time shifting stuff, because Sarah Dessen writes, especially in this book, in two different time.
Yeah, lines. The nonlinear storytelling in this book. So of all books, it's very funny that she a little call out to herself, maybe.
Also, this is like kind of a little shout out because like people brush aside YA so easily as just like, you know, throwaway garbage. And actually, obviously we have an entire podcast where we read YA.
Yeah.
And actually YA is amazing. And so fuck you guys.
100%. I'm also wondering if like a book like this, like her like editor or like the publisher was like, oh, I don't know about the non-linear storytelling, like, you know, like for YA, whatever. And so it's like, I'll walk you through it. Like, you know, being like, well, I think they will understand. Which again, they probably didn't. And from everything she said, the team that she works with is pretty wonderful, but it's just kind of funny. I'm sure the things that she heard getting her, you know, going through school and has heard, you know, in her years of writing.
Yes. I said I wasn't good at writing. I said I wasn't good at writing fiction, not reading it, I thought. But then I told myself to stop being so judgmental. When you love something, you wanted everyone else to love it the same way, right? That is giving this man a lot of credit. He doesn't give a shit what you love. Get up and leave. Just then her phone rings. Leo raises his eyebrows judgmentally at her pop song ringtone.
Yes. Scream, buddy.
I know. Again, like fucking only things that men do can be smart and not a waste of time. Anyway. It's Ambrose. He's like, please wave at me. Make it look urgent. And she's like, you need an urgent wave. And he's like, yes, please. And then he hung up. Ambrose was all the way across the room, a red cup in his hands. A girl with broad shoulders and a high ponytail was facing him, her hands on her hips. He looked like he might be sweating. Leo's like, what's going on? She's like, not sure. So she waves Ambrose over. He looks surprised and then walks away. And Leo's like, what was your ringtone? It sounded like, and she's like, it's nothing. Ambrose as the girl with the ponytail turned back to Ambrose, sticking her finger in his face. So this girl's pissed at Ambrose. And he slides out from under her, makes a beeline across the room. And then Ira sees him and starts wiggling. And she's like, thank you. Melissa was getting a bit clingy. Melissa was still staring at them. And she's like, what did you tell her? And he's like, that you're my ex-girlfriend and we've gotten back together since she and I hung out and you were very jealous.
Again, and why in this hypothetical situation are you making her your girlfriend? Sir? Interesting.
She's like, he's like, it's fine. Our road trip to the mountain was weeks ago. And he's like, I needed some clean air. She's like, what? He's like, anyway, don't let me interrupt your night. We'll just make our exit and hope for better results at the next party. And so he's going to leave, going to go to another party. He's like, this one's a little too small for me and Melissa. You might want to avoid her as well. And Leo's like, won't she wonder why Luna's talking to another guy? And he's like, no, I told her she has a wandering eye and is super promiscuous. That's why we broke up. Oh my God. Ambrose, just like digging deeper, deeper. Then a woman walks up she's like, oh my God, Leo, what are you doing here? Her name's Lauren. They embrace. He kisses her on the cheek. Lauren is like, he is, I'm sorry. She's the girl I met at work, the one I told you about. Ambrose, he introduces her to Ambrose. Ambrose and Lauren make some eyes at each other a little bit. Ambrose flirts with her immediately, of course. She's like, aren't you a handsome boy, to Ira? And he says, he takes after me. Lauren is like, oh my God, you didn't tell me you would be here. Lauren's newly single. Lauren, Leo's been trying to get her out there again. And she's like, but it's hard. And Luna's like, I know, I'm in the same boat. My best friend basically had to drag me here. And so she's like, but once you get dumped, Lauren's like, the last thing you want is to offer up your heart again, right? And Ambrose is like, someone dumped you? Are they crazy? Lauren smiles gratefully.
Smooth operator.
You're sweet. And well, yes, we were together for 4 years. They'd known each other since kindergarten. And wait, hold on. What? Oh, she's the girl I met at work. The one I told you about was Luna. Okay.
Yeah.
So they've known each other since kindergarten. Her ex-boyfriend and Leo were the fearsome threesome on the playground. Lauren's like, don't date one of your best friends. When it ends, you lose so much more than a boyfriend. Preach. She starts, like, she gets a little emotional right there. And Leo puts his arm around her. He's like, Patrick's a doofus. You'll find someone else. And she's like, yeah, I guess that's why I'm here. I'll stay for one beer, then I'm going home and getting into bed and eating ice cream. Ambrose is like, that sounds like a plan. I love Rocky Road after a breakup. And she's like, thanks. Yeah, I've been mainlining Rainbow Sherbert. Love Rainbow Sherbert, by the way. He says, just avoid the chocolate peanut butter or pralines and cream. Too coupley for the newly single. She's like, that's good advice. And then Jilly's like, Ambrose was leaving. He's leaving. And he was like, only because I had no reason to stay. Now we're talking ice cream. So I do. So they're like flirting. And she's like, I'm warning you. I'm terrible company. I'll probably start telling you my entire sad story. Ambrose is like, I love sad stories. So does Ira. Oh my God. And he's like, oh, somebody needs a walk. I'm going to go walk Ira. She's like, oh, I'll come with you. And he's like, yeah. And so they kind of walk away. And I could hear their voices already chatting as they disappeared into the dark. He better behave himself, Leo said. That girl's a real prize. I believed this, even though I just met her and was pretty sure Ambrose got it too. And watching this particular departure, I knew something was happening. Even from a distance, you could tell when two people simply clicked. Starting with a nighttime walk, well, that just sealed the deal. Oh.
Hi. Love this interaction, because here's what I see going down.
Yes.
One, I think Leo has been in love with Lauren for a long time. The fearsome threesome. Yes. And he's like, that guy's a doofus. And he's like, she's a real catch, better be careful. I think he's always had feelings for her, but because the other guy, his other friend was dating her, he hasn't acted on it. So they've got something going on. Meanwhile, Ambrose and Luna definitely have things going on, because of course Luna's all like, oh, what's going on here? She definitely seems to be a little like, not liking their connection. So I think this is very interesting that we have four people and, like, everyone kind of likes each other in a weird way. Like, Leo's supposedly on a date with Luna. Ambrose is about to leave, but then he ends up kind of on a date, in a sense, with Lauren. And I was like, yes, this is all very interesting. Very interesting.
It is. Very interesting situation. And it gets more interesting. Chapter 17 is very interesting as well. But that's next episode. In 30 minutes.
30 minutes on the next episode. 30 minutes for, in our time, not 30 minutes for you.
Yes.
Chapter 16. Here we go with Sarah's nonlinear storytelling in this novel. And this chapter is one that'll break your heart. Just wait till we get to chapter 19. 18, I mean. Although I'm sure 19 could be statue. Who knows? Okay. So, again, we're flashing back to the magical night slash now morning that Ethan and Luna met. And Ethan, again, is en route, like, back home. So she says that he did phone her from the parking lot, just as he's promised, I missed the call. In her defense, she's in an elevator with a group of people. And She says that she realized the noise coming from my pocket. I pulled it out. And he's like, you must be annoyed now. But that song will grow on you someday. It might even make you cry. So he's changed her ringtone to the same ringtone that he has, which is that Lexi Navigator song that made him emotional, that his friends made fun of him for, and they made that whole deal. That line, I think, is actually cruel and unusual punishment, Miss Dessen.
Yes.
That song will grow someday, might make you cry. I was like, oh, screw you, Sarah. That's painful.
Yes.
Because, of course, we all know that it is going to make her cry one day.
Yes, that is painful. That was painful to read.
That is painful. That is so good. Like,
yes,
you're good at this, Sarah, but also rude. That's rude. That's rude behavior.
Also, how dare you?
Yeah. She says, when I remembered this later, it broke whatever pieces were left of my heart, but that was later. So yeah, she's all like, you put the Lexi Navigator song, like, when did you do this? And he's like, when I was getting my bag, and before you get mad at me jacking your password for Tunage, I like that Tunage is the basically Apple Music, iTunes, as they used to call it. Do people still call it iTunes? Is that still technically iTunes?
No.
I was gonna say, like, rebranded to Apple Music. No, I guess not. But back in the day, iTunes. And I was like, oh, another fun one, because we've had like Yumi.com and different things like that. So Tunage is our latest one. He's like, you should really make it harder to figure out. And she's like, how'd you know it was William? And he said, you did say he was the alarm code at the house. So again, Ethan is, he's paying attention. He's really locked in, which we appreciate about him. What a sweet boy. So he says he took a guess. And she's like, you know, now you know my secrets. And he's like, don't worry, they're safe with me. So then she asked, what am I supposed to tell people when they ask me why I have a Lexi Navigator ringtone? And he's like, that you are her biggest fan because your boyfriend loves her. Boyfriend. So of course, as the person, he's like, drop the boyfriend. And he's like, you know, so she says, boyfriend, I like the sound of that. And he's like, then you show them your screensaver, which also this little sneaky boy has changed while he was getting his bag. And it's Ethan grinning next to Lexi Navigator in her stage outfit. And she's like, okay, it's pretty cute. And he's like, I'm glad you think so. As we were driving off, I started to worry that maybe you would hate it. And then and they're like stopping for things. Then he's like, you know, like, well, I'll call you back, whatever. And he's like, you'll know me by pay attention. The words are changing. And he's like, the name of the song about her grandmother, Lulu. Come on, how are we going to date Lexi Navigator's number one fan if you don't know her biggest fan? Which again, like, what a little sweetie. He's so cute.
He is cute.
And she's like, yeah, I'll get right on that. And he's like, you start with your Tunage library and a recently purchased top tune of you. So I'm dying to know how many songs he may have purchased of Lexi Navigator.
I know.
That's honestly great. So she says, with Ethan in her ear, the drive back to Lakeview felt and looked entirely different. I felt like a different girl. I would never again be who I was when I walked down those beach stairs, took off my shoes, and stepped into the sand. And I was so, so glad. Once home, we talked constantly, and we weren't talking, we were texting or chatting. We have another one face to face on high there. So that's another one that we have. He'd linked the SO, part of Yumi.com. So they're officially Yumi.com official. Adorable.
Adorbs.
That's very cute. She says, I understood what all the love songs and sappy movie endings really were all about. I finally understood Jilly's buoyant romanticism, the hopefulness that seeps into every part of your life when you know someone loves you in that way. I ate, slept, and dreamed Ethan. When he wasn't in my ear or on my screen or in one way or another, I was running over our night together in my mind, hour by hour, so be sure not to forget a single detail. Our girl is down bad. Like, she is so in love with this boy. And he just seems so sweet. And it just makes me so sad.
Crying in the gym is a rough second line.
Yeah.
For that situation.
In that regard. No, now that song's sad.
Yeah.
Nobody's never happy, but, like, you know. It's,
no.
It's now more sad. But, yeah, they're just, like, you know, they're in their honeymoon phase. They're so in love. They made, like, such a, like, beautiful connection. And again, like, you know, she said, like, yes, it was, like, this one night, but, like, the way that it was and the way that they, like, were together wasn't like that, you know? Like, she just felt like they could be so much more vulnerable with each other, and they were so much, like, more open with each other. Jilly says, I've never seen you like this, because there she is, like, humming along to Lexi Navigator now that she's listened to all of her songs downloaded on Tunage. It's like you've been body swapped or something. And, you know, so Luna points out to her, like, you know, you've been in love or whatever. And she's like, not like that. Oh, this is what's going on here. It's some serious first love stuff. Sometimes I look over at you and you're just sitting there smiling at nothing. And so she basically, Jilly's like, you know, like, I wanted Ethan too. Like, he just seems so great. Like, I'm jealous. And she's like, you know, I couldn't blame her. Like, he was perfect. Which again, like, I just feel like you think your first love is always perfect. And Ethan does seem like he was a really, I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead here. He does seem like he was a very wonderful, sweet, sweet, sweet boy. And I'm so sad that his life was cut short. But again, it's like, it's so easy to romanticize your first love. Like, it's the first time you're, like, really experiencing any of this stuff. So, like, it just is, like, on a whole different level, obviously.
Yeah.
She says,
teenage girls have so many feelings.
Yes, so many feelings. Y'all, it's a lot going on. There's just, it's a lot being a teenager. Again, your frontal lobe's not developed. The hormones are going. A lot's going on.
A lot.
Tell me where you are now, I'd say to Ethan when we talked before school and then at lunch and after last period and several more times up until bed when he was the last voice I heard before going to sleep. So they are, like, constant communication. They are just, you know, absolutely adorably in love. She's headed to go see her mom and William. He knows her coffee order. He's like, double shot for her? No. Like, he knows, like, the situation on whether or not her mom needs an extra shot of espresso. Like, seriously. William asks, like, when does this boy come? He said to me in early September as I was texting with Ethan, I'm going to have to sit down and have a talk. So William's getting all, like, protective of her, which is very sweet. And she's like, you, like, isn't that, like, you know, like, her mom says, isn't that my job? And William says, I'm the father figure. If anyone gets to sit cleaning a gun while making the boys squirm talking about honor and chivalry, it's me. Which I just think is so funny, the visualization. Everything we know about William does not equate to him sitting around with a gun.
Yes.
That's great. And so she's like, a gun? Like, are you serious? And Luna's mom goes, you maced yourself the last time you tried to carry pepper spray. And he's like, well, I was going to do that. I'm going to talk. So, you know, of course, like her mom and William, again, her, like, most parental figures in her life are being very parental right now, being like, oh, what are these boys' intentions? Like, we're going to have to sit down, have a little chat with him. And Luna's all like, no one is having a chat. Like, y'all are embarrassing me. Like, it's fine. Like, everything's fine. Like, we're going to make him feel welcome, show him the best of Lakeview. William's like, what even is the best of Lakeview? Mom is very sweet. She says, Luna, of course. That's what he's coming for after all, right? Stop. Precious. Young love. Stop it. So she's all like, oh, you know, whatever. And they're texting again. Now, what are you doing? And she's like, putting up with my mom and William tease me about you. And he's like, can't wait to meet them. And I, like, really feel like that's so genuine. Like, they're so in love. They're so excited to have, like, their first meetup. They've talked about it since, like, you know, literally the moment they were separating. They're like, but we're going to meet up. And so they're so excited for this. William's like, look at our girl. She's crazy in love. We didn't ruin her after all, you know, with our bad attitudes. And she's like, you know, like, not yet. Like, let's remember, like, you know, it's still new. They only technically spent one night with each other. And William's like, you know, like, gosh, like, let her have her fun. It's not her fault that we're, you know, dried up and unlovable. Not true, William. Matt, the prosciutto guy, he's ready and willing to talk meats and cheeses with you. Mm-hmm. And
he wants to take you to a Fall Out Boy concert.
Yes, exactly. He does. And it would be beautiful. And so mom says, you know, like, speak for yourself. I'm very lovable. My mom caught my eye, the mouth button. I'm sorry, looking genuinely apologetic. I knew in truth she was happy for me, but just worried as her own love story hadn't ended well. Oh gosh, yeah. But this was different. Oh, Sarah, you're evil. I was different. And Ethan, well, was Ethan. He would never do anything to hurt me, and never occurred to me that in fact it might be someone else. Which, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. In theory, Ethan isn't the one who does anything to hurt her, but yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yes.
rough.
I have heartbreaking. I do have one thing I want to wrap this chapter, episode up with. And that is obviously there was a school shooting last week where two children lost their lives. And the right is taking this as an opportunity to blame trans people, SSRIs, because the shooter was allegedly transgender. And I just want to tell everybody, 98% of mass shooters are cisgender men. Okay. There have been three trans people who have done mass shootings, apparently. And there has been 2,826 that weren't transgender people. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Keep those facts in your back pocket when your aunt or your fucking uncle is like, those trans kids. And also take care of yourselves and hug your family, because what the fuck?
The world is crazy. And for the umpteenth millionth time, we have been blaming everything under the sun since basically Columbine happened. And I'm going to go on a limb and say, it's probably the guns, y'all. I think it's the guns.
It's the guns.
Let's look into that. We've looked into everything else. Maybe it's time we finally just, I don't know, look into the guns and stop blaming everything else under the sun. It's rough out there.
Do not take my SSRIs.
Yeah, for the love of God. It's rough out there. To echo your sentiment, yes, obviously take care of yourselves. And yeah, it just makes me angry that this book was written a decade ago and is still so relevant. Greatest country in the world, though. It's fine. Okay. Anyways, love to all of you. Take care of yourselves in these crazy times. At least it's pumpkin spice season. At least it's fall. Yes. We have that going for us. So yay. To end on a happy note, yay, it's fall, and be well.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.